everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities Podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, Managing Editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's October 2024, and this is episode 417, which is a spoiler-filled conversation about the Disney animated series Gravity Falls and the best-selling Book of Bill about Gravity Falls that was released the summer of 2024. On this episode, I'm joined by Lindsay Medenwalt, who is the Director of Ministry Operations at Mama Bear Apologetics and the author of Bridge Building Apologetics. She holds a Master's in Apologetics and Ethics from Denver Seminary, a JD from St. Mary's School of Law, and a Master's in Public Administration from Midwestern State University. Lindsay has written an online exclusive feature article review of both the show and the book for the Christian Research Journal, and her article is called Gravity Falls and the Book of Bill, When Entertainment is a Portal to the Occult. And you can read it for free at our website, equip.org. That's EQUIP.org. Lindsay, it's good to have you on the podcast again.
Hi, Melanie. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, today we're going to have a very interesting conversation, and it's kind of keeping in the theme of October, where a lot of people who are not Christians are very interested in dark things and occultic type of things, even if they think they are doing it in fun for Halloween, or so they think that it's funny if their kids dress up as little devils or whatnot. But I will tell you, my neighborhood is full of all the Halloween decorations. And one of my neighbors, not just even, well, you think, oh, these like funny skeletons, their entire yard is full of these very ornate, giant, larger than 6 feet, paper mache type of things of like the Grim Reaper, but also holding children in cages.
No.
Yes, it's really creepy. I mean, I just thought, well, it's fascinating, but also people would spend money on this. And then they have like a little Ferris wheel that goes around with little like it clowns in it, the Steven Spielberg.
Creepy.
One. And then also they have another two set of paper maches. I mean, these are like three of maybe 10 scenes they have. They have these large paper mache Grim Reaper skeleton things pulling apart a child. I think is a little strange. So anyway, I wish we could illustrate this. But I guess people can Google it. I did look on eBay how much these things cost, and they're closer to $1,000 than closer to $100. So anyway,
that's disturbing.
I'll say that the occult is really big, even if people think it's funny or they're just trying to get into the spooky spirit or whatever. So we have a conversation based on that. I just say that because we're going to have trick-or-treaters go buy this home with their children in cages. So looking like they're being tortured. It's very disturbing.
It's gross is what it is.
So I just want to let everybody know, we're going to talk about something called the Book of Bill. And we first saw it and it came to our attention from a Christian parent who had put it up on TikTok wondering, what is this? It looks kind of dark. And I didn't really know what it was. One of my colleagues said, let's cover it. And I did some digging on it and realized it was connected to an animated television series created by a writer named Alex Hirsch for Disney back almost 10 years ago in 2012. And that show is called Gravity Falls. And that kind of, you know, made a bell go off in my head because I recall my kid in college now watching Gravity Falls almost 10 years ago and really enjoying it. I didn't really know much about it. It just looked like one of those silly cartoons in the Nickelodeon style, but on Disney Channel. And it won a lot of awards at the time. It premiered on Disney back in 2012 and has two seasons. That's not that many until it ended in 2016. Well, this summer, the Book of Bill, kind of written by one of its fictional characters, was released in July, and it instantly shot up the hot new titles on Amazon and dethroned some of the political bestsellers. And then we wanted Lindsay to cover it because she has become kind of a specialist for us in some occult things like tarot cards and witchcraft and so on. And basically it was sold out. I called bookstores in her state, bookstores in my state. And it was nowhere till finally I called the bookstore and they said, you know, it's sold out. We're waiting for the second print run. So we actually had to go on eBay and pay double the retail price to even get one of these things, which you probably haven't heard about, maybe some of our listeners. So that's saying something in my mind for a show which had its last new episode almost a decade ago in 2016. So Lindsay, why don't we start and tell our listeners a little bit about this animated series, Gravity Falls. What is it about? Because I just remember it being weird. I'm not an animated person, so I never sat down and watched it with my now college-age kid when, you know, he was a kid.
Yeah, I don't know much about or didn't know much about Gravity Falls before I started doing this research. Melanie, when we travel sometimes as a family, we'll pop the Disney Channel on, like many families do. And from time to time, Gravity Falls has been on Disney when we've traveled. Now, my kids are, 11 and 13. And so they're kind of in that age group that would be interested in watching Gravity Falls. And I just thought it was a weird cartoon that I didn't understand because it was designed for kids. I also didn't realize, Melanie, that it was so old. My kids watch it like it just came out, but it's been out for so long and it's still relevant. Like sometimes I'll try to watch older shows with my children and they're like, oh, mom, it's so old. Look at how old it looks. But Gravity Falls gives the appearance of it being new all the time. And so my kids are definitely, they've shown interest in it. Now they won't be showing interest in it because we won't be watching it in our home. But I, for the last couple of weeks, have done a really deep dive into Gravity Falls. I've watched the seasons and tried to absorb as much as possible. And I recognize that there are probably listeners out there who are experts in the field of Gravity Falls. And my hope is that I will present it appropriately and in a helpful way. I might miss some things because it's a huge thing that's been out for so long. People have spent a decade researching this topic. And there's just lots of mystery surrounding Gravity Falls. So let's talk about it.
First, I want to say to our listeners that it is still so huge that some of the recaps of Gravity Falls that are out there have upwards of 1 million to 2.5 million views on YouTube. So it is still very relevant because new people are discovering and a new generation of kids are discovering Gravity Falls. Like Lindsay was talking about her own children.
Yeah, it lives on Disney Plus. It's on Hulu. It's on YouTube. It is accessible and kids are watching it and they're interested in it, right? It's not, like I said, they're interested in what they see. So Gravity Falls, like you said, was created by a guy named Alex Hirsch. He actually created the series based on inspiration from his own childhood and his own experiences growing up. He is a twin. He's got a twin sister. And they used to spend their summers with their great aunt from between the ages of like 9 and 13. And so what we see in Gravity Falls is we see twins, 12-year-old twins, Dipper and Mabel Pines, and they go from California to Gravity Falls, Oregon, to spend the summer with their great uncle, who they call Grunkle Stan. Stan is also a twin in the series. He's got a twin brother named Ford. Grunkle Stan runs something called the Mystery Shack, which is basically just a local tourist trap that talks about different conspiracy theories that surround Gravity Falls. It's a hoax in and of itself, but it does bring tourists in and they tend to spend a lot of money for what Stan is selling. The show essentially follows Dipper and Mabel as they look into some strange things that happen in Gravity Falls. I'm talking about supernatural and paranormal occurrences. Mabel and Dipper seem to always be trying to solve a mystery of some type. In the first episode, Mabel gets a boyfriend, and that turns out to be not human after all. It is made, this human being looking like thing is actually made up of several gnomes. So then we find out that gnomes have inhabited the woods of Gravity Falls. And that sort of just leads to other strange things that happen. There is an episode where they're trying to discover a monster that might live in the lake. There's an episode where a 9-year-old psychic named Gideon develops a crush on Mabel. And so we kind of address what a psychic is in that episode. There's a haunted grocery store. Cursed wax figures come to life. There's an invisible wizard. We see mer people and a bear with 8 heads and shapeshifters. All of this paranormal activity and these paranormal creatures exist within Gravity Falls and are illustrated on the screen within these 40 or so episodes that exist in between the two seasons of Gravity Falls. We even see demons, which is something we're going to spend quite a bit of time talking about in this episode. Melanie, you frequently asked me what the plot was of this show, and I watched it, and I watched a couple of YouTube videos about it to kind of really pin it down. And what I find is that it is truly a story about Dipper and Mabel, and they are your typical kids just trying to grow up and deal with puberty and all the things that comes with it, right? They're trying to find themselves. They're gaining confidence in who they are as they enter the teenage years. But I also read that this was intended to be a show that little kids could watch that would sort of be a gateway into watching scary things, because scary things do show up on this animated series. And kids are seeing that, and it becomes more normal for kids to consume it once they've seen it over and over again in Gravity Falls. So it's pretty clean. It's a pretty clean animated show, if you have questions about that. But it is creepy, and in many cases, it is disturbing and scary as well.
Well, that's one of the reasons why we wanted Lindsay to cover it, because Gravity Falls introduces a lot of occult and paranormal things. Now, I think some parents have said, well, it's just all in jest and fun. But it is fascinating, because when you introduce these things in an animated situation, an animated series, it doesn't seem as serious as, oh, this is an occult thing. Well, it's interesting. Earlier this month, Lindsay covered Skinwalker Ranch for us, and we post our podcasts on YouTube as well. And we have a subscriber or someone who regularly comments on our videos. I don't believe this person is a Christian, but they had never heard of Skinwalker Ranch, and they were so intrigued, they're going to go visit Skinwalker Ranch. So I do think that it is a gateway into thinking about some of these things, basically because, maybe we'll talk about it later, one of the elements of Gravity Falls is ancient aliens. And as you know, ancient aliens has been on the History Channel. We've covered it quite frequently here for a very long time, many, many seasons, and it's some of our most popular content on YouTube, with literally over 15,000 views for some of our episodes on ancient aliens. So we think, well, this is harmless, this is kids. Unfortunately, it is introducing them to the paranormal, to the occult, at a very young age.
I wish it was harmless. I after watching it and reading this book of Bill, I don't think it's harmless.
And so do you think this just... talking about that, do you think this show is geared towards adults or kids? And what kind of average viewer is watching this show? I would say what probably made the Book of Bill really popular is the kids that grew up with it are now Gen Zers in their 20s. And they're like, this is so awesome. And they've sold out the entire book run. So yeah, it's on second printing right now.
Yeah, I think Gravity Falls itself is definitely geared toward kids. And Common Sense Media says the show is good for kids 9 and up. And it appears to be very popular with kids ages 6 to 11. It runs on Disney, right? So, which isn't in and of itself indicative of its audience, because there are things on Disney that are geared more toward adults. But for Gravity Falls, I don't think the stats lie, right? The finale averaged 2.9 million viewers. And when they had an all-day Gravity Falls takeover event, the series finale had about 10.7 million unique total viewers, including 5.4 million kids ages 2 to 14. One of the things that I found in my research is that Gravity Falls, like you've kind of already alluded to, Melanie, transcends age. We've got young people who enjoy it. We've got older people who enjoy it. I did spend some time on the Reddit page for Gravity Falls. This is the subreddit for Gravity Falls, and found a few comments from some of the adults that were posting there. And some of the things they said were, this is a perfect example of a creator having a clear idea of a beginning, middle, and end and executing it to perfection. So calling the show perfect. And then another adult said each episode builds on each other and has great callbacks with a bigger mystery to solve episode by episode. So what we're finding is that adults are watching it pretty regularly as well, but it is definitely geared toward kids in general.
So I think for me, knowing how much of the paranormal is woven through this, that does give me pause. It's just not an innocuous, silly animated cartoon. So, you know, from what my own research into Gravity Falls, I didn't spend a lot of time like you did, Lindsay, but also I did send a message to Lindsay to say, I don't know that if I'm smarter than a fifth grader, because it's hard for me to keep track of this very complicated plot and subplots and et cetera. But it's kind of one of those shows because it has all these odd stories and side stories and origin stories of all these characters that it has a sense of fandom to it. You know, it's kind of one of those shows that it's going to be something that will have fandom of it because there's so many different characters. So from what I could tell from like, oh, someone watched this recap and it's got 2.5 million views. People love it on whether they're streaming it on Disney from what you said in the stats. And we have to think about that was way back when, where a lot of people were just watching it maybe in America on Disney. Now all this stuff is worldwide. I mean, Netflix, you know, people in America love Korean dramas and those aren't, you know, and those are like top in America because we're consuming things on a global basis. So it's pretty popular. And you said you were in the subreddit. So what do the fans, the viewers really like about it?
Right. So it's popular. The subreddit has 1.2 million members right now, and it seems to be growing, which that's a huge number of people who are on a particular subreddit talking about an animated television show. Most people on Reddit are adults. These are adults talking about the show. And if you kind of dig into that subreddit, you'll find TikToks and other social media posts and videos from adults talking about this show. So it's not kids.
Almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, right. And so they're fans and they're going to continue to be fans because the show keeps generating content. It's not the series itself. Now there are books about it, not just the Book of Bill, but there are other books that were created about it. There was a video game that was created. There's a website that's attached to the Book of Bill that we'll talk about in a minute. So there are all these different pieces of information that these adults have gathered over time, thinking that they're solving this massive mystery that Alex Hirsch, the creator, designed way back in 2012, that one day we'll have all the answers. And it's just really fascinating to hear them talk about, you know, why they love the show so much. I think it's because they find the characters relatable. The characters are flawed in many ways, right? Their great uncle Stan isn't necessarily like the best family member that you've ever met. And they don't necessarily love going to visit him. But it turns out, you know, at the end, there's this, you know, and we're giving spoilers, folks, so sorry. But in the end, you know, they have this family moment and they're just so grateful that they got to spend the summer together. Now, keep in mind, this covers only one summer in the lives of Dipper and Mabel Pines. Over two series, 40 episodes. So we're just talking about one summer. But I think also people love mysteries, right? We wanna solve things. This is why conspiracy theories are often so popular these days, is because we think we might find the answers, and that's exciting. And like I said, Gravity Falls is just one big mystery, maybe leading us to something in the end. There are ciphers and puzzles hidden throughout the episodes, different symbols and codes. There are different meanings to different things that you find in various episodes that lead you to answers and clues about other mysteries. And I find it very confusing and a little bit overwhelming. And I'm not even sure that I've even scratched the surface in my research, because there's just so much to untangle when it comes to Gravity Falls. One of the things that kind of tells me that something is popular, a television is popular, is when other television shows mention it, or there's an Easter egg that kind of directs somebody to that show. And Gravity Falls has been mentioned in a variety of other animated shows, but not even only animated shows. I mean, there was a scene in Private Practice where they were watching Gravity Falls. Gravity Falls is mentioned in The Simpsons, Big City Greens, DuckTales. You know, these are Chip and Dale at one point talk about Gravity Falls. So it's definitely in the culture. It's now, it's fresh, even though the episodes are older. And it's getting your kids into it. And they're learning a lot, not just about Dipper and Mabel, but about the occult as well.
As you know, everything that we publish at the Christian Research Journal is completely free online, and we no longer have any paid subscriptions. But we do appreciate your partnership with us, and one way you can partner with us is to give us a partnering gift, and as our thank you, we will give you an equipping book. And one of those equipping books that we are excited to put in your apologetics library is by our guest today, Lindsay Mettenwald. Lindsay has written a book called Bridge Building Apologetics, How to Get Along Even When We Disagree. And it's very practical, and it helps you to establish caring and compassionate relationships with people you want to reach for Christ. And so some of the things that are in this book are just really inspiring examples of what relational apologetics looks like, not only from people today, but also people in the Bible. And then she helps you, gives you strategies for really thoughtful and productive interactions with people who are unbelievers and people who are from all different kinds of faith backgrounds. So it is the ideal resource for the Christian apologist. And that's what we do on this podcast, to help equip you as we talk about different topics and books and films and theology, those things that will help you not only grow in your faith and deepen your walk with Christ, but also some of these things are springboards that you can have these kinds of bridge building apologetic conversations. So you don't want to miss out on that. And yes, you could go to your favorite online retailer and get this book, but we're asking that you would help us continue to bring you the podcast and all these articles completely free of charge, no longer a subscription, by giving us a partnering gift. So just get to equip.org and then scroll down a little bit and you'll see some resources that are available. And one of those you will see, as heard on the Postmodern Realities podcast, is Lindsay's book, Bridge Building Apologetics, How to Get Along Even When We Disagree. And so thanks for considering partnering with us with a gift so you get this thank you of Lindsay's book. And now back to my conversation with Lindsay about the very popular Disney animated series, Gravity Falls. Well, I want to talk about that because we've alluded to the paranormal and the occult. And just what you were saying a few minutes ago about the ciphers and the mysteries, I find that this younger generation, where it's Gen Z and younger, they just love the Easter eggs. They're in video games. They're even in the newer series of whether it's Marvel or Star Wars, some of those people creating those things, even if they might be older millennials, they have grown up on this stuff and they love the Easter eggs, which is maybe why Alex Hirsch kind of has built his series around that. But I want to talk about the occult that we've mentioned and the paranormal, because we talk about it with you quite a bit on this podcast. And it seems to me, as I started getting into Gravity Falls and when I saw that TikTok of the parent that said, this is kind of like demons and Satan, I just thought, oh, Gravity Falls, my kid watched that. That's just like some harmless cartoon that was weird. I mean, I didn't understand it. I just thought it was weird. But as I've done some digging, I just see there's more and more occult symbols. Now, maybe Alex Hirsch doesn't believe in the occult. He thinks this is just, you know, kind of funny satire. I don't believe in spirituality. But he does seem to me to have this theme going on in introducing just the wide gamut of a lot of the tropes from paranormal activity as well as occultic things. So can you, first of all, define the occult so our listeners know what we're talking about? What is the occult?
Sure. The word occult comes from the Latin word occultus, which means secret or hidden. And occult is sort of a blanket term that covers the paranormal and practices like magic or alchemy, divination or astrology. If we're talking about the occult as a worldview, it would include things like Wicca or the New Age movement or other forms of spirituality, including Satanism. We see some of the more common things related to the occult, especially right now, 'tis the season, unfortunately. We see Ouija boards and tarot cards, horoscopes, crystals, people talking about channeling, which is being used as a medium for a dead person, or clairvoyance, which is the ability to see beyond ordinary perception. So all of these things are sort of under the umbrella of the term occult, and many of them are actually present in Gravity Falls.
So I know you did the deep dive and you binged Gravity Falls. So you said it's kind of evident about Gravity Falls. What is in it? And some of the stuff I would say is like, it seems dumb and irreverent. Like, oh, we're going to do this. This character is going to get trapped inside a astrology wheel or whatever. But then again, maybe a kid who's 5, because you said it had ages 2 and up, you know, they don't know what an astrology wheel is. Now you've introduced them to astrology and it looks kind of cool. You know what I mean? So what are the other things that are in the series that are very much paranormal type of either items or kind of phenomenon that people like to actually practice?
The irony of this show, Melanie, is that while the word occultist means secret or hidden, the occultic things in the show are not secret or hidden. In fact, I was kind of looking at Alex Hirsch's social media and I found a post from 2013, and he was responding to somebody who had accused him of hiding occultic symbols in the show. And his response was, "The rumors that I'm hiding occult symbols in my show are totally false. I'm not hiding them at all. They're in plain sight, dummies." He's not trying to hide anything. It's right there for us to see. So what are these things that we can see? Well, Mabel at one point discusses having a boyfriend and discusses the pros and cons of maybe dating a vampire as a boyfriend. There are various ghosts, shapeshifters, and demons throughout the show. At one point, a character who we'll talk about in a minute uses an incantation to summon a demon. Another character recites a spell and accidentally summons a bunch of zombies. An army of zombies appears. There's the Zodiac, which is, of course, astrological, right? And it's everywhere in the show, including the opening credits. And the characters within the show, what we find out, another spoiler, is that they correspond to the different symbols on the Zodiac. And apparently they can then overtake the bad guy in the end with this Zodiac, which doesn't end up working, but they try. So you're pretty much going to see evidence of the occult in every episode of Gravity Falls. And the references are in there on purpose. They're not trying to hide from you. One of the most frequent occult symbols that we see is actually a demon called Bill. And we're going to talk about him more in a minute. But I want to describe him for a second so people can have an understanding of what he looks like. He is sort of like the all-seeing eye. So he's a triangle with a giant eye in the middle. He's presented in the show as yellow, but on the Book of Bill, in some of the issues or the releases of Book of Bill, he's yellow, but in others he's red. It just depends on the version that you get. But the all-seeing eye, I want to talk about what that means. It's a recurring motif that represents knowledge and power, and it is often associated with conspiracy theories and the occult. So to me, it's no surprise that the antagonist of this show is a demon and that he is illustrated as the all-seeing eye.
That is just so interesting. And that's why when, again, referencing that TikTok, we're like, well, who's Bill? So we were not sure what that character was. And so therefore, I want to ask you about this demon. His name is Bill Cipher, C-I-P-H-E-R, interesting, with all the riddles and so forth. And so who is this Gravity Falls character? Because he's one of the main, I know it's about the twins, but he is a main focus in the series.
Yeah, he makes his way. He's introduced a few episodes into the first season when he is summoned by that psychic that I referenced earlier named Gideon. And Bill is a dream demon that terrorizes the people of Gravity Falls. He's trillions of years old and he's from a different dimension. Like I said, he's shaped like a triangle and has a giant eye. He also wears a bow tie and a top hat. I find Bill to be truly evil, Melanie. I really don't think there's a way around saying that he's evil. From what I've gathered in the episodes, he has no qualms about possessing people and using them for his own purposes, including to destroy other people. He is responsible for decimating his own dimension, including killing his own family. He at one point was friends with Stan, their uncle, Mabel and Dipper's uncle. And Bill, turns out, of course, as demons do, was just using Stan to start an apocalypse. And at that point, Stan was trapped in another dimension. And what we find out within the show is that Stan's whole purpose now is to destroy Bill because he knows what Bill's trying to do. There's an episode where Bill is summoned by Gideon and Bill gives Gideon a task. And his task is to steal a deed, the deed of the Mystery Shack, actually, from Stan. Dipper at one point makes a deal literally with the devil, Bill, at some point in the series, and Bill possesses him and abuses his body while he's inside of him. There are a few episodes at the end of the series. And this is kind of where I think Bill makes his grand appearance and then ultimately his grand departure. The end of the series is called Weirdmageddon. And it's this apocalypse that Bill is trying to bring on to the people of Gravity Falls. This is where he enters Earth through a portal that's in Gravity Falls. There's that portal idea. You mentioned Skinwalker Ranch earlier. Skinwalker Ranch, apparently they claim that there is some sort of portal to another dimension on that ranch. Portals are evident in the show as well. Bill is in physical form at Weirdmageddon, and he summons all of his evil friends to join him and quote-unquote party in Gravity Falls. Of course, for bad guys like Bill and his minions to party, it means that they're basically just destroying everything. They turn townspeople into statues. Others are transformed into weird creatures. Buildings are destroyed. And they're just wreaking havoc, the worst kind of havoc on this small town. The problem is that Bill can't leave. It turns out that there's some sort of barrier that prevents him from leaving Gravity Falls. And so there's an opening for the Pines family to overtake him and win against him. So they try the Zodiac and they fail. So this time they realize that they have to stoop to Bill's level and trick him. And now we see this instance where they allow Bill to possess one of the characters. And while he is possessing this character's mind, they shoot him with a memory erasing stun gun kind of thing. And Bill is turned into a physical statue now and destroyed, or so we thought. And Stan has sacrificed himself for the good of the world by allowing himself to be possessed. Good news is that in the end, they are able to retrieve Stan's memories for him and they live happily ever after. But of course, we cut to the statue of Bill and everybody wonders, you know, what really happened. I actually watched a video this morning where they translated some of Bill's last words. And essentially, he's saying, "I'm coming back." And he tells the axolotl to bring him back to life. So that's kind of where the show ends as far as Bill's existence.
Well, I think some people listening to it are thinking, this is really silly. Just a silly cartoon. What's the big deal? And again, it's introducing things that are very real that the Bible talks about, like demon possession. And these things, we are in a spiritual battle. And, you know, we believe that the devil exists and that there are demons exist. So I think some people might be thinking, well, this is just like a dumb show. So tell us a little bit more about the Book of Bill that came out this summer. I mean, again, for a show to be over like in 2016, almost 10 years ago, because it's almost 2025, and for it to sell out almost immediately is pretty successful for Disney.
And it's
crazy. So it was kind of crazy because you're like, this is an old show. So what is this about? And again, seeing that concerned parent TikTok, they were very concerned about the contents of the Book of Bill. They just thought it was some, you know, kind of memorabilia type of, you know, coffee table book from a show that their kids liked back in the day, because the kids, they noticed this book in their kids' room who were like home from college or something. So it was like they were almost 20s, you know. They loved the show when they were a kid.
Right. Yeah. I would not put this on my coffee table, even though at the moment my coffee is on the coffee table. It will soon go to the restricted section of my library, my home library. But for now, what it is it's basically Bill Cipher's journal. In the show, one of the subplots has to do with Stan Pine's journals. And these journals, there are three of them, are basically the answers to all of the questions surrounding Gravity Falls. He's been taking notes over the years and kind of putting them all together in these journals and trying to keep them safe from Bill, too, because obviously you don't want the demon to know all the secrets about Gravity Falls. The Book of Bill is Bill's journal. In it, he gives his own history. This is where we really learn about how he destroyed his own family and his own dimension. He gives a lot of puzzles and ciphers throughout it. There are weird symbols all the way throughout it. It addresses conspiracy theories about the all-seeing eye. So I mentioned that he looks like the all-seeing eye. There's actually a whole page about the all-seeing eye and why is he featured on the dollar bill. So now he's talking in first person, like, why did they put me on the dollar bill? Bill claims, and this is okay, in his journal, right? So we're reading the Book of Bill and this is his story. He's sort of in some film references, this would be called breaking the fourth wall. So he's talking to us directly. But he tells us that he caused the founding fathers of the United States to have nightmares until they put him on the dollar bill. He also claims that he sat on Abraham Lincoln's head, which is why Abe Lincoln always wore a top hat, because he was hiding Bill's presence from everybody else. He claims that the object that landed in Roswell in the 1940s was actually him. So he's giving credibility to these conspiracy theories that people have had over the years about different things. He also describes his powers and his weaknesses, which I found pretty interesting. His powers include all the things that he is really good at, but he claims to have eaten gods, seduced galaxies, and drunk fear. He engages in mind reading. He possesses people. He has charisma, which, you know, that's interesting that he calls that one of his superpowers. He is able to turn things on fire just by thinking about it. He says that he has a few weaknesses. One of them is synthesized music. If he listens to it, it's really bad for him. Tin foil. So this is where, again, conspiracy theories. If anybody has seen the movie Signs, you'll see that they're wearing tinfoil hats to keep the aliens and other creatures from possessing them. And Bill claims that those tinfoil hats actually do work and will keep people safe from his possession. He also starts to talk about other things and then cuts in and says, wait, I shouldn't give you all of my weaknesses, and cuts to a chapter from The Great Gatsby. Literally in the middle of his journal, you can read parts of The Great Gatsby. I read through it to make sure nothing was hidden. I'm sure something is hidden and I missed it. But that's the kind of stuff that you read in the Book of Bill. He is basically trying to show you how he has attempted to take over the world and in how he's still working toward that. It's interesting because he uses real life examples in it, which gives it this sense of credibility rather than just being satire. Now you're reading it, and I felt uncomfortable reading it at times. And I'm not usually one that walks away from things. There have been a couple of times when I've done research for the Christian Research Journal where I've had to set things down, Melanie. But it doesn't happen very frequently, which is why I keep taking these assignments. I had to walk away from the Book of Bill a couple of times and put it away because I was troubled by the things that I was reading in it. And so I think it's really important that people know that it exists, but I don't recommend that you run out and buy it and get a copy for yourself.
And that's what makes it so fascinating because, yeah, it's supposed to be this funny satire with just random occult things woven into it, whether Alex Hirsch believes in those occult things or not. But I also think there is a sense of like irreverence or maybe blasphemy about Christianity because on one page, it's just, I don't know if it's related to the story. It just says on the Book of Bill, it's just like how to get into heaven. And then there's this big red circle that's empty. And then it goes on to the next page. So there's just these kind of suggestions of, you know, hey, what we're dealing with is real. And, you know, things like you might have heard of religion, you have to connect the dots. That's just not really real. And so if this is a book for, I guess, adults are buying it because, you know, 20-year-olds are loving it, is it intended for younger readers who are getting introduced to the show if they have like Disney Plus or Hulu?
No, it's not intended for kids. And I will give Alex Hirsch credit for putting that right on the cover. The cover says travels to dimensions not meant for older readers. And if you go to the book page on the Disney website, it says deeply, deeply cursed. And there's a reminder that it's for older readers and not for younger readers. But Melanie, you and I know enough about how kids work that it doesn't mean they won't be interested in it just because it's not a book for them, right? Especially since the show itself is intended for younger audiences. So the boys that would have been interested in the show back when it aired originally were about 6 to 11, which puts them into their late teens, early 20s right now. And that seems to be the target audience for the Book of Bill. But with Gravity Falls streaming and being readily available today for young kids, I definitely think that they would be interested if they saw this in a store, right? They would recognize Bill from the show if they saw the book. And they would probably say, hey, can I get that? That's from Gravity Falls. I will say that I don't know that they would understand a lot of the information that's presented in this book. It does read older. It's not as young as I would have expected it to be, considering it's based off of Gravity Falls. But kids are going to be curious. And eventually this will probably be in libraries and kids will have access to it. So just know that it's out there. And just because it says it's for older readers doesn't mean that your kids won't be curious and pick it up.
Yeah, I think for sure it would be in the, you know, young adults, middle school section of the library. And it's funny, you were telling me, I was asking you about reading this book, and I know you were really busy, so thank you for reading it. And you told me you read it on an airplane. It seems like it's breezy because it's just like the series. There's all these pictures and different riddles and things. I know you said you had to put it down, but did you find it interesting? And after reading it, how do you come away with, what is your impression of the Book of Bill?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because I was with friends this week, and one of them is John Ferrer, who has been on this podcast talking about Satanism and other things, and writes extensively about that topic. And I was happy to show him my copy of Book of Bill, and we sort of talked about the symbolism on the cover, and we got really excited about it. But his wife, Hillary, won't even look at it. And she's like, I can't believe you traveled with that thing. She really doesn't like including books like this in her in-home library. Like books like this would be in the outside library, right? They're not even going to have a place at the table in their house. And I understand that perspective. I get it. But for me, thankfully, I've not usually been touched by these kinds of books. I do really approach them as research. And I ask people to pray for me a lot when I'm researching things like this. I was drawn in immediately by the cover. It's beautiful in a really gross way. I don't know how to say that in any other eloquent way, but to say it's beautiful and gross at the same time. So it's a full cover of Bill. Bill's on the cover and it looks like it's a diary. So there's a lock and for you to put a key in. And it's also got four Ankh symbols on the cover too, and they all have their own seeing eyes. So an Ankh is a cross, right? And it's got a little circle at the top. There are four of them on the cover of the book, and then four more on the back cover. And what you can see if you sort of tilt the cover is the zodiac with all of the symbols from the show. And so it's got a creepy vibe to it for sure. And then you open it and the front cover pages are covered in blood. And as you continue to turn the pages, you see blood stains throughout. And then you turn the page, Melanie, and you find a section that says, this book's new master is, and there's an X and a line, and you put your name there. And then you're supposed to put your hand on this bloody handprint on the other page and recite something to summon Bill. So it says, place your hand on the right page, clear your mind, repeat the words, time to get weird. And then you turn the page and it's filled with ha 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 laughter for two whole pages. And we see Bill arrive on the scene and he introduces himself and says, now I'm going to tell you all of my secrets. And it's really fascinating just looking at Bill. He's got this top hat, and the top hat actually resembles an upside down cross. Now, not in the yellow version of him because the top hat is black, but in the red version, it sort of merges. The top hat is red, is the same color as he is, and it sort of merges and gives the appearance of being an upside down cross, which some listeners will recognize that as a sort of a satanic symbol or a sign of anti-Christianity. Again, not hidden, right? Right in our face, right on the front cover. But then when you're reading through, you start to find all sorts of hidden gems throughout. And actually, there was one, Melanie, that made me laugh out loud as I'm reading it on the plane. And it's called Chapter 9, which there aren't really chapters in this book. And there aren't really page numbers either. But it says that the chapter is titled, Who Wants to Build My Portal? Time for a New Best Friend. And on the bottom left-hand side, there is an illustrated image of Ancient Aliens, the TV show. And it's got an illustrated image of Georgios Tsoukalos, who is one of the main characters on Ancient Aliens. He's the guy with the crazy hair. And it's really hilarious. Like, I laughed. I was like, oh my gosh, it's Ancient Aliens. And on it, Bill says, there were no aliens involved in building the pyramids. Anyone who thinks it took aliens to build a big triangle out of rocks is trying to sell you something. And I thought to myself, well, now we're just breaking conspiracy theories. And again, real, right? Because Ancient Aliens is a real show. Not to say that they're covering real things, but there are aspects in this book that cover real life scenarios. And it gives it more of a feeling, maybe this isn't so satirical. It's got spells and incantations and various occultic symbols. There are parts where it seems like people who Bill has possessed are trying to break through the pages, little messages that say, turn back now, stop reading the book. He's going to possess you. Go away. And that page that you mentioned about heaven, there is a section in the book about morality. And he, in the book, what it is first, it's a how will you die section. You pick a number and then you turn the page and it tells you how you're going to die. There's options 1 to 23. And they're ridiculous scenarios that probably aren't real life. But anyways, that's what he tells you. And then he describes the afterlife and he describes hell and says he was deemed too annoying for hell. It's just your typical between lives situations, kind of boring. And then he gives kind of a tip on how to cheat death, which includes getting bit by a zombie or a vampire. And then he asks the question, is heaven real? And now as I'm reading it, I'm like, oh, now we're getting to like real things again. Believe it or not, Bill says, heaven is real. I know, I was shocked too. Turns out in an infinite multiverse, all conceivable realities can and must exist, which means logically there exists a paradise exactly tailored to every desire you've ever imagined. And then he tells you how to get there. But he says you're not going to see the page if you've ever had a perverted thought. So then you turn the page and it says how to get into heaven and it's blank because it's an indication that we're all fallen humans who have had some sort of wrong and evil thought in the past. And then he jumps into this whole section on morality. And this is where I think parents really need to take note because he says morality is a very flexible concept, but parents and presidents don't want you to know that because then you might start asking other questions like who put them in charge anyway? So they cram your brain full of guilt and regrets for transgressing laws they just made up. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just put all that baggage down, quell the shame that follows you everywhere for a lifetime of crimes? And it says the good news is you can silence that annoying voice, and here's how. And of course, they're not giving the message of Jesus at this point. Basically, it's just denial. He mentions karma. And then there's a moral test. This kind of stuff, Melanie, is throughout the entire book. It's hundreds of pages that are beautifully illustrated, full color, enticing, I will say, and interesting, but with these things of truth interwoven throughout, questions that will enter your mind if you're not firm in your foundation of truth and the word of God. And so I'm just going to warn parents and even the adults who are listening who grew up on Gravity Falls, be careful when you read through this book. I'm not usually the type that says, you know, demons have attached themselves to objects and they're going to possess you by reading it. But it does, I think, open yourself up to the spiritual realm and the things that are quite evil, that are real. Like the spiritual realm is real. And I think this book goes beyond satire.
And that's really interesting because the author would say, well, that's not his intention. You're just probably one of those conservatives. I mean, I don't know what he thinks about Christianity. I do know in his own life, apart from his profession and writing these other things, he's quite opposed to some things that we would think that ethically as Christians we should hold to, like being pro-life. And so it's interesting that he'll say, well, it's just a bunch of satire and I did it for the fans, and yet have this stuff in there that's like, well, here's where morality really, you know, people are trying to give you guilt. Why be guilty? And of course, we've all had bad thoughts, but leave all that behind and do what you want. You know what I mean? And they'd be like, oh, that's just satire. But then that's in your mind, and especially younger people and kids. So, you know, if we're taking into account that the occult is very present in the series, and it's funny because even though he's making fun of ancient aliens is part of the plot. It's like ancient aliens came and they landed into this area, which kind of probably caused the paranormal activity of Gravity Falls, which is in Oregon. And so it's on one sense, he's writing this book. I heard an interview with him. He kind of like decided, well, I don't really want to come back to it, but if there's something unusual I could do. And he thought about this Book of Bill thing, and it took him a couple of years to, you know, figure out he wasn't just going to do something to make more money. He wants it to be creative and really add to Gravity Falls. So in the one sense, he's going back to say, oh, anybody who's believing this. But on the other hand, he, in the series, you know, years earlier, he put ancient aliens into it.
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of wild, actually, all the things that he's inserted. And, you know, it is a testament to the human mind and creativity. I will say that Alex Hirsch developed the story, like one of the adults said on the Reddit board, right? It seems like it was developed very clearly from beginning to end. And he knew the direction that he wanted to take with it. And we see that evident in the Book of Bill. And it draws out things from the show and builds the mystery even. But that doesn't mean parents should just be like, okay, it's just a carryover from the show. One of the things was interesting that I found too, Melanie, and you and I both have just been watching video after video. It definitely is a rabbit hole to go down. But there was a guy who posted on the subreddit for Gravity Falls. And in one of the editions of the book, I think the Barnes and Noble edition, which is a different cover, and it has some extra pages in it, there is a phone number that you can call. And so the guy did a video and he called the number and it's like staticky and was supposed to be evidence of, you know, Bill existing and whatnot. And somebody alerted him and said, yeah, you shouldn't have people call that number anymore. It's apparently been bought by an adult hotline at this point. So now you're in Barnes and Noble and your kid wants you to buy a book and you buy the book and your kid calls this number, they are going to be transported to a porn line offering phone sex to them. And that's not necessarily Alex Hirsch's fault, right? But we need to be aware of the things that our kids are reading, the things that our kids are watching, and it takes extra work. And I hate telling parents that they have to add just one more thing to their world, but you have to watch what your kids are watching. You have to be in touch with the things that they are reading, the things that they have access to. Ask them which of their friends have phones. Talk to them about the things that they watch at their friends' houses. Like, this is the kind of book that will entice people to the occult. It is beautiful aesthetically, right? Like, I think the artwork is beautiful. It is well drawn and it will bring people in. But kids, even if they don't understand it, will also like the pictures. And they'll grab on to little things here and there, little nuggets, symbols. They have meanings. Teach your kids that the symbols have meanings. Parents should be concerned about the graphic parts of this book, right? Like I said, there's instances of blood coming from not real blood, but drawn blood, illustrated blood coming from the pages. There's gore in it. There's some really disturbing images that are within this book. And like I said, Alex Hirsch knew what he was doing. He's not trying to hide anything from us. And, you know, there are references to evil things like mass murder, which, you know, brings us back to Gravity Falls. It's entertaining in a sense. It's not necessarily, you know, what I would pick to watch on a Saturday afternoon, but I can understand why kids would watch it. It's not as graphic as the book, but there are still disturbing images in the show, especially in the Weirdmageddon episodes. There are some disturbing images of the monsters and whatnot taking over humanity. And so we need to be cognizant and aware of the things that our kids are seeing.
Now, some people might be thinking, well, you guys are just, you know, deja vu, satanic panic. But here's the thing, back in the day when there was a satanic panic, again, around Dungeons and Dragons, which is not, you know, all these years later, we know it's not about getting into Satanism. But the thing is like, now we have the internet. So these kids are watching Gravity Falls and they are wondering, oh, what is the spirit guide? Can you be possessed? You know, possession, and start Googling all this stuff. And that can come up even watching the Book of Bill. And also, if it's satire, why do you have to murder your entire family? That just seems like, for a kid's show, why would you suggest to kids, oh, I'm just like this bad guy, and I murdered my entire family. So I do think that parents need to beware, because back in the day, we couldn't look these things up, and now they did. And like you said, an adult place has bought up that line, and so they could be introduced to pornography, which this is not the conversation for it. But if people look at stats, I think the average age, it could be younger now, but the average age that kids are introduced to porn, not because they're looking for it, because they haven't gone through puberty, they might not understand or know these things, but because people try to get little kids in by using terms like Gravity Falls or SpongeBob or whatever, it's about like 9 or 10 years old. So you just have to be very careful. Now, what about my kid who watched Gravity Falls is older and in college now. But let's say I was, you know, I'm of where your kid's age, like, hey, we watched this before. Mom, let's watch it again. We're in the hotel. How do we talk about this show with kids? Because again, they might see something, you know, the algorithms know you're watching cartoons. Here's another one on Disney, Gravity Falls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to be clear, like, I'm not usually the alarmist type. I am more of a, we can watch things and discuss things. So it's a little bit unusual for me to take a stance like you shouldn't buy a book, especially, I mean, I own thousands of books myself in my home library. But for this particular show and this book, I have found that this is not going to be something that we have in my home. And I know that parents, Melanie, are going to come down on various sides, right? Some will say, okay, we're absolutely not watching Gravity Falls, and we're definitely not going to read that book. Some will allow their kids to watch the show and maybe watch it with them. And typically, I will encourage parents to do that. Do not just allow your kids to watch anything without you knowing exactly what's being presented to them, because that will just leave them with more questions. And like you said, they will find access to the internet and Google things and learn things on the internet that maybe you're not ready for them to know. I think if you're going to watch Gravity Falls and you watch it with them, you will have things to discuss in every episode. And you as a parent might even be challenged, like, what are they talking about? What is possession exactly? And what is a Ouija board? Or what is the zodiac sign? So investigate those things and talk about them with your kids, answer their questions to the best of your ability. But you need to also know things about, you know, what YouTube channels are they following? What influencers are they watching on social media? I mean, a couple of years ago, Melanie, we talked about the hashtag witch talk on TikTok and how people were being exposed to witchcraft through social media. This is not really that different, right? And it is alarming. It's fiction, but it's dabbling in the occult, and it's opening kids up to the ideas of having seances and summoning demons. It's playing with fire, you know, and like you said, this is not that new, right? We were dealing with things like this when I was a teenager and when I was a kid. I mean, even I remember not being able to watch, you know, the Smurfs because, you know, there was some summoning and some witchcraft in it. But there is a difference now with our kids because they just have access to so much information, and it is being normalized. Now it's no longer weird to talk about witchcraft. It's just a normal thing. So parents need to be asking their kids questions. And then I would encourage Christian parents to consistently use these kinds of discussions to point back to God and Jesus. Tell your kids that they don't need to be afraid of the things that they find in these books or shows, because Jesus has already overcome the world. He's the hope within us. He's the redeemer and overcomer of all things evil. And in the end, he wins. But you need to point them to truth. Why don't we summon demons? Why don't we have incantations and spells to perform magic? These are things that are covered in scripture. And we could discuss those with our children and have real conversations, depending on their age, about the things that they're going to be confronted with, not just in this show, but even when they're at school or in the locker room or even at church youth group. They're going to come home with information and they're going to need answers. And you are, as a parent, on the front line to give them the answers to the questions that they might have. And then I guess my final piece of advice is, above all else, you should pray. I come from a generation where we prayed for hedges of protection over our homes and over our families. And I still pray for that. I pray that God will guard our hearts and guard our minds from the things that we consume or the things that we accidentally see, and that we will be with God even to the ends of the earth, right? We need to be grounded in truth, which is the word of God. We shouldn't let things like the New Age or witchcraft seep into the things that we believe. Stop using crystals during prayer. They're not helping you at all. It's just opening a gateway to other spirituality and falsehood. You need to decide ultimately, you are the parent, what your kids can watch and what they can't watch. But even if you choose to watch this, I really encourage you to investigate what you're getting into, because we've really only scratched the surface on this topic.
And maybe it's not just parents, it's grandparents that might be listening to this. And also maybe you're single, but you work in children's ministries and all the kids are talking about, or in youth group, the Book of Bill, and they might have questions for you. So I think this is really applicable to all Christians, whether you are a parent or not a parent, because you're going to come across this. Maybe you're just a college student and your friends are fans of Gravity Falls and other kids are wondering, should they get into it? So I think there's a lot here for a Christian apologist definitely to be equipped, no matter your age or stage in life. And these are things, again, it comes across as innocuous, but yet it's not innocuous. So that was our deep dive on Gravity Falls, although probably not as deep as some people get into it.
Not even close to as deep as how some people get.
Especially if you go on the subreddit, it's people are really into it over there. Well, finally, on a much fun and lighter note, are you a yes for a pumpkin spice latte or a pass?
I am a yes, through and through.
Well, thanks, Lindsay, for being a guest again on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thanks, Melanie.
You've been listening to episode 417 of the Postmodern Realities podcast. Today's guest was Lindsay Medenwalt, who has written an online exclusive review article for the Christian Research Journal. Her article is called Gravity Falls and the Book of Bill, When Entertainment is a Portal to the Occult. You can read it for free at equip.org. That's EQUIP.org. You won't want to miss out on subscribing to the other podcasts from the Christian Research Institute. We have the Bible Answer Man podcast, which is published Monday through Friday with the best of the week on Saturday. It's hosted by CRI President Hank Handegraff and is available wherever you get your favorite podcasts. In addition, Hank has a podcast called Hank Unplugged. Hank takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, essential Christian conversations on critical issues with some of the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people on the planet. And you won't want to miss out on the brand new podcast from the Christian Research Journal. Christian Research Journal Reads presents audio versions of Christian Research Journal articles. It was a print incarnation of almost 45 years. It's now on the web, as you know, with new articles every single week. So you won't want to miss these audio articles of some of our most popular and most accessed articles on our website, equip.org.